What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
So hot and humid with a chance for showers today, and apparently there's some kind of high pressure ridge, something or the other, that has kind of closed off the Gulf. So we don't really have to worry about any tropical weather, although there are some waves coming off the coast of Africa. But from what the meteorologists are saying, and I mean this with all due respect, so now that I said all due respect, I can say anything I want. I think if there was any way for them to make us aware, I'll say charitably, of a hurricane, they would seize upon that, and they're not. So I take that as we're okay for now. Arthur Sterbko joins us now, local real estate analyst. How you doing, Arthur?
Doing terrific. Good morning.
How you? Good? Well, everything. I just asked you that, didn't I? Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a little bit under the weather, but we'll get through it. Let me ask you this. When it comes to buying homes, I was thinking about it in anticipation of talking to you today. It reminds me a little of when I bought my first home in the mid-'80s, because inflation's not great, the interest rates aren't great, and at some point, you just got to jump in, because the prices continue to go up and up and up, and they don't generally come down, do they?
It's pretty rare for them to go down, just because of inflationary pressure and population growth. So you're exactly correct. I always say it's time to get on the equity escalator and buy a home and ride your property value up.
Because you can always refinance. That's what I think a lot of people don't realize. Get the property, even if it's at an exorbitant, what you consider an exorbitant interest rates. But if you can afford it, you can always refinance. So that'll bring the note down, right?
Almost always it's prudent to refinance if you're going to be there for at least 2 years, and usually a 1.75% to 2% interest rate spread between what you're paying now and what you're refinancing. That's usually the amount of time it'll take to recover the closing costs. But certainly if you're going to be there 5, 6, 7, 8 years normal, it makes perfect sense to buy now. The interest rates are going to fall. I don't think there's anybody on the planet who doesn't think that's going to happen. And so you've got some people waiting for that to happen, but that means that there's some buying opportunities, and to save a quarter of a percent, you may save thousands in sales price. So, you know, sit there and do the math a little bit, and you'll go, you know, I'm in a pretty good position right now to go and lock in a sales price. And then when interest rates do fall significantly, probably next year, I'm in a great position to probably refinance.
So the way I look at it, the market is going to determine how much somebody can afford to pay for a house. So if the interest rates are high, there's only X amount a month that people can afford, right? So if the interest rates are high, that means the price of the house is going to come down. Or if the interest rates are low, that means the price of the house is going to go up. So does it really matter?
Yeah, it's supply and demand. It's just how many buyers are in the market at that point in time relative to the amount of listings on the market. You know, a lot of sellers took their property off the market because they felt like, oh, there's no buyers out there. So the inventory has really been kind of sparse in a lot of areas. Now with consumer confidence starting to come back into the market, we're seeing listings come onto the market, which is a good thing. And buyers are in the shadows gearing up to buy. I think we're going to see a pretty good third and fourth quarter this year,
especially
in the commercial market.
Somebody texted in and wanted to know if there's a rule of thumb when it comes to how long you plan on staying in a property before you buy it.
You mean before you buy your next one?
Well, before you buy. In other words, like you mentioned 2 years. Is there like a 3-4 years a rule where if you're not going to be there for more than 2 years, don't buy given the market? Or is there any way you can really say that?
That's really such an individual thing. Sometimes it's a function of you don't really know how long you're going to be there. All of a sudden you get a sudden job transfer and you've been there for 3 months and you go, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen that happen to people. And yet we've seen people that expected to move in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years and stay there. And they're there 10, 15, 20. So it's such an individual thing. Everyone's lifestyle and life's choices change almost daily.
Where are the hotter areas right now, Arthur?
Well, believe it or not, Orleans Parish, if you're looking for properties over $400,000, those properties are, I hate to say it this way, but they're flying off the shelf.
Say that part again, Arthur. What price range?
Anything over $400,000 in Orleans Parish is very hot right now.
Really?
It's absolutely, yeah. You go under $400,000 and it's bare bones.
So you can either afford it or you can't, pretty much?
That is exactly what's happening in Orleans Parish. There's a lot of movement in houses over that $500,000 for sure. Hmm. But a pretty big increase in sales price and in units being sold.
I generally speaking, what is $500,000 going to get me in Orleans Parish? Again, it all depends on location to the third power, but...
Yeah, the Garden District is not going to get you much.
No.
In some of the other areas of the city, it's going to get you a lot. City Park area, you get something pretty nice. In the Broadway area, something pretty nice. Something on the West Bank, something very nice. So it all depends on where you're standing. But, if there's a particular neighborhood you're looking for, you go to Realtor.com, Zillow, see what the prices are, and get a real good understanding of what the market is like right now.
But you got to have some place to go before you sell it, right?
Well, typically that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. You really don't want two houses, and it's hard to qualify for two houses. Mm-hmm. Pay one note while you're trying to, buy a house and have a note on the other side. But it's a pretty easy system here in the United States in terms of being able to sell your home and move it to the other. In terms of timing of cash flows regarding of loans, the other lender isn't usually going to let you close on the second house until you've closed on your first home, the one you're in. So they don't want to see somebody overloaded with debt.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll come back talking real estate with Arthur Sterbko, local real estate analyst. We check in with him every now and then. I want to talk about Old Algiers as we come back, Arthur, because I, on Saturday, sometimes take rides around the city just to see what's going on. And it amazed me, having grown up in Algiers and been very familiar with that area, with what's going on down there. Arthur Sterbko, our guest. You got any questions? 504-260-1870. That's the Oakman Art Jeweler talk and text line. Please don't ever text and drive. 620 traffic, WWL. It is 626. Don't get ahead of ourselves. Arthur Sterbko, I guess, local real estate analyst. Arthur, I asked for text, so let me read a couple of them. So if I take my lower ninth 1,600 square foot shack and put a $425,000 price tag, it should sell within a week, right? Well, that's not what you said at all.
No, I'm afraid that won't work.
Yeah. I mean, you can try it, but it's not going to sell. Somebody else said that moved to Jefferson Parish after Katrina. Otherwise, I'd still be in Lakeview, but I enjoy Jefferson Parish leadership, larger lots, no power lines. And this is the part that got me. Clay in soil, no house sinking. It's not as glamorous as Orleans, but I'll take the swap. But I know Jefferson Parish was a lot of swampland that they filled, right?
That whole section of Lakeview and Jefferson Parish, if you go back and look at maps from 50, 60, 70 years ago, it was all swamp.
He's talking about specifically the West Bank of Jefferson, but still not a lot different, is it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the soil down here is the soil pretty much everywhere in the region, in the Great New Orleans area, except for once you get on the North Shore, obviously.
Unless you're on the alluvial ridge, right, close to the river?
Exactly. Metairie Ridge and Metairie things ridge. Like that. You certainly have a few variants, but nothing significant.
Somebody else texted in and wanted to know about tariffs. Are they going to affect the price of houses, or are they affecting yet the price of houses?
No, haven't seen any of that impact at all, to be honest about it. And I really don't foresee that being a major problem because it'd be offset by economic growth in some other factors in the market. So if there is an impact, it'll be offset by a positive impact.
So there's X amount that people can afford a month, and the market pretty well dictates that by raising or lowering either interest rates or the asking price for houses, right?
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. I figured that out a long time ago. When people start talking about saving interest rates or waiting for a 3% rate, it's like, well, that's fine. But keep in mind, the market realizes you have X amount to pay, and that's either way, you're not gonna beat the system.
Like trying to time the stock market.
Right, exactly. Good luck with that. What about Old Algiers? Because I was driving around there a couple of weeks ago, and I was shocked at what's going on at Old Algiers. That's got to be a pretty hot area, or not?
It is a lot of renovation, a lot of activity in that area. It's been very solid. Obviously, it's proximity to the CBD, but sales prices there are up almost just about 5% over last year. So that's pretty significant considering the interest rates and the insurance problems we've had. But the insurance hasn't been the big issue in that Algiers area. Algiers Point, for example, is some of the other areas. It's significant, but not in the huge increases that we've seen in other parts of the city.
Because of the alluvial, whatever it is, and that's where the river dumped its mud.
Just a higher bank, exactly.
Yeah. So if I were to buy a home right now or look to invest in a home, which I'm not, I would seriously look at Lower Coast, not Lower Coast, at Algiers Point. Old Algiers, because it seems to me that is a hot area and a lot of people are spending a lot of money. And when you drive around that area, it's not what it used to be.
Yeah, if you wanted an Irish Channel, Lower Garden District type home
exactly.
area, then that's your neighborhood. I mean, that's it. If you would have been the West Bank, then that's perfect. It's well-maintained, a lot of infrastructure there, restaurants, bars, services for folks, grocery stores. So there's a lot going on in Algiers Point and has been for years. It's always been a rock solid investment in that area.
I would tell people if you can't afford the Garden District or the Irish Channel, look at Algiers Point because you feel like you're right there. It's the same kind of thing. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Arthur Sturbco, local real estate analyst. We come back, we'll talk to the president of Public Affairs Research Council about a new study on what tax changes could mean for Louisiana households. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. And we're back Wednesday morning, August 20th, joined by Stephen Procopio, president of the Public Affairs Research Council, to talk about the new tax changes that were passed by the legislature. How you doing, Stephen?
Oh, doing well.
Tell me what's going on with the tax changes. What did the legislature pass, and what does it mean for Louisiana families?
Sure. So there was a pretty major rewrite of our tax code. We went from three income brackets for income tax down to just one. This is a flat 3% rate. They also doubled the standard deduction and more than doubled the standard deduction and doubled the retirement deduction. And it got rid of some other exemptions like.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from.
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Dependence. But at the same time, on sales tax, they'll balance out the cost. The administration wanted to increase the tax on services as well as digital goods. But they didn't do the services. Instead, what the legislature did is they increased the sales tax. They went from just under 4.45% to 5%. And all those balances together give us a slightly more regressive tax structure. I don't want to overstate it. It's not a massive change in who pays. And overall, most people got a tax cut, but it just kind of changed the distribution a little bit.
So who did it hurt anybody?
Yeah, so the people that it hurt, because you're going to look at it, it was a pretty big income tax decrease. But if you weren't really paying income tax, if you're at the really low end of the brackets, we're talking less than $10,000, you weren't really paying income.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get any benefit of an income tax. But you were paying, you will be paying sales tax that went up. So those are like the two tax groups, the $5,000 and people making less than $10,000 are actually be paying more in taxes. But we have to be a little bit careful because people at that level, it's a combination of individuals that are just not making a lot of money, whether that's a working individual or it could be someone who's an 18-year-old working a part-time job. The individual income also covers a lot of businesses, and then businesses use a lot of sort of tax exemptions and credits to lower their liability.
Mm-hmm.
So in that 0%, there's actually a lot of businesses that, those are businesses. But the vast majority of businesses file individual income as opposed to corporate. So it gets a little weird at the very ends, sort of that low income tax bracket, because there's a lot of million-dollar companies that are making zero or close to zero income that's thrown in there as well. But it doesn't change the overall structure that those people that weren't paying any income tax now have to pay a higher sales tax regardless.
So what I'm hearing is poor people are paying more taxes and the people that are richer are paying less or not. Is it that simple?
Well, it's not quite that simple, because remember, those people that are poor, and you're making less than $10,000, they're not necessarily poor. They just have a low income, and it could be because they are big companies that have a lot of credits, or they are, in fact, part-time workers for whatever reason, because they're young or just maybe I have a second job, maybe their spouse works, and because that's at an individual level. That said, yeah, they are going to be paying more.
All right, so let's talk about somebody that doesn't have an education, and they're working a minimum wage job, making up beds in a laundry or in a hotel or something, or whatever else they have, the work they can find. They're classified as poor, right? So if they get any kind of food stamps or anything else, is that taxable under state law?
I don't think the food stamps are. I'm not positive about that, but I don't think so.
Okay, what about welfare?
No, that wouldn't be taxable either.
So they would be making whatever minimum wages times 2080, and they would benefit from this or not?
It depends on exactly where it falls out. If you're making less as an individual, less than $10,000, you're going to be paying a little bit more in taxes. Now, I want to be clear. I think it's around $50 a year. Uh-huh. I don't want to sound like it's an overwhelming burden. Although if you're only making $10,000, $50 is a lot of money. But that's basically what we're talking about, an increased total taxes as far as this. Now, the people who benefit the most from this are people that are making around $25,000 to $30,000 as far as their percent of income. It was kind of aimed with the standard deduction increase to get at the middle class. Now, it's also important to caveat that, even though as a percentage of income, sort of the middle class gets the biggest cut, in terms of actual dollars, the people on the wealthier end will save more dollars because they pay more taxes. So
did you say 30K to what as middle class?
Yeah, well, for an individual, the people that get helped the most are around $25,000 to $35,000 have the best percentage decrease in how much they're paying on taxes.
That's not rich.
Yeah, well, no, that is not rich. that's as a percent of income. If you actually just look at, well, how much are they going to save in terms of dollars out of their pocket,
mm-hmm.
Then that's the people making the most money are going to benefit from this because they make more. So even if they have a lower percentage saving and they make $300,000, the tax cut as a percentage is lower, but in real dollars, it'll actually be higher. Because even a smaller percentage of savings on $300,000 is still going to be more money than a bigger percentage saving on $30,000, right? You make 10 times as much money.
Do you know what let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Talk about the average income for the a person in Louisiana, if you know what that is or not. 6:50, talking to Stephen Procopio, president of the Public Affairs Research Council, about the new state income tax law that was passed. If you have any questions or comments, Oconart Jeweler Talking Text Line 504-260-1870. No texting and driving, please. Right now, time for traffic on WWL. 6:56, 4 till 7, Tommy Tucker talking to Stephen Procopio here on WWL, president of the Public Affairs Research Council, about the new study on what tax changes could mean for Louisiana households. Do you know what the average income is in Louisiana, Stephen?
Sure. It's about $60,000 for a household. That's median income.
How are we defining a household?
So it would be all the people that live in a house, the related people in one dwelling.
But, I mean, I realize that, but do they make it like two parents and four kids, or two parents, two kids, or number of people or anything like that?
No, it would be all related, so as long as those people are related. Now, typically it is, it's two married people or a single parent with kids. What you can't count is like, oh, and we also have this renter in there. That doesn't count.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is when you say $60,000 per household, how are we defining household?
Yeah, it typically, you can either, it's sort of one or two taxpayers, right? Because either it's an individual works and they're paying for the whole household, or there could be a couple.
Mm-hmm.
It's never three people paying the taxes typically, I mean, unless you have like a teenager making some amount of money. Mm-hmm. So usually one to two people, one to two taxpayers, and then however many kids.
Okay. When you say that the poor are going to pay more taxes because of the higher sales tax, that's going to affect the people that have a lot of money as well, though, too, right?
Well, they're going to be paying more sales tax, but they'll get a cut in income tax. So for example, people making $60,000 under this new tax plan, they'll pay about $1,700 if they're making. Oh no, it's about $1,500 in combined income and sales tax, but that's about $280 less than they were paying. And as a percentage of their combined taxes, that's about 20% less than they were paying under the old plan. So that would actually be a group that would be paying less. The only group, the only two groups that are paying more is that if you're making $10,000 or less, in which case you'd be paying, you know, either $50 or $30 less per year. And again, that's totally a function. You'll be paying more in sales tax, but you're not getting any break from the income tax because you're not paying any income tax now.
Somebody texted in and said they make $185,000 a year. Do they benefit from this program or not?
Yeah, unless you're in those two smallest groups, everyone gets a combined tax.
A combined what, Stephen?
That everyone except for the two smallest groups will be getting a tax cut. A double-digit percentage tax.
You're breaking up, but I think we got the gist of it. Thank you, Stephen Procopio, President of the Public Affairs Research Council. When we come back, we're going to talk to Joyce Epstein, co-director of the Center on School, Family, and Community Partnerships and the National Network of Partnership Schools, and a professor of education at Johns Hopkins and the owner of the world's largest business card. She's going to talk about homework. Does it help kids? Does it depend on how much and what the assignments are? And how do you help your kids with theirs? Then we'll talk with Steve Nelson, General Superintendent of the Sewerage and Water Board of New Orleans, about that new substation being delayed again. And we have a story coming up in the news, I think, about parents and vacations and Labor Day. And school starts so early. You know, you get to thinking like it's Halloween and we're not even out of August yet. We'll be back, WWL.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.